I did my first park run yesterday. Others were there with me as well, doing their first one, I believe, as well. And I have to tell you, that was far less exhausting than doing that second way. Woo woo indeed. We're going to have a quiz. In the great tradition of the BBC, it's just for fun. There are no prizes. We're going to show you a few strap lines and slogan on the screen. You can just turn to each other in your pews, see if you can figure out which company they belong to. Don't shout it out. And then we'll move on, and then we'll get the answers at the end. I think that was fairly clear. So, the first one, every little helps. Discuss that, not that you have to. And it's... I'm a slightly cynical person. I always think it's just as well every little helps, because that's about as much as they're going to give you, frankly. Let's move on to the second one. Can we have the next one? The power of dreams. The power of dreams. It's not Joseph, if you're interested. It's not Joseph. Can we have the third one? Power to you. And again, if you're interested, that one's not the Lib Dems. The next one? Believe in better. That could be the Lib Dems. Believe in better. Yeah. Believe in better. And the next one, if we may. Just do it. Not always the best advice. Just do it. And the next one, please. I'm loving it. That's the typical response you get. So if you ask anyone in the Church of England midway through the sermon what they think, that's the response you get. I'm loving it. A great place to live and work. And I think, if memory serves, that was the last one, right? So then, let's go through the answers. Tick off how many you got right. So the answers are, the first one was every little helps, I believe. And the answer was? It was indeed Tesco. Can we check that we're right? There we are, Tesco. I've no idea what the second one was, so let's just... the power of dreams. Anyone get that right? Ah, right, very good. Do you drive Hondas? The next one? Power to you, Vodafone. Anyone get that? Did anyone get that? Up in the balcony, they got it. Yeah, they're younger up there, by and large. The next one, if we may, if you got it. Believe in better, Sky. Believe in better. And the next one. Have we got the next one? When you got that, Nike. Did anyone not get that one? They spend millions upon millions of pounds advertising that. The next one, if you got it. Burger King, very good, yes. Yeah. I'm loving it. I, generally speaking, am not, but there we are. I think it's the last one. Did anyone get the last one? A great place to live and work, whatever it was. So, South Gloucestershire. Not Bristol, oh no. South Gloucestershire. Now then, I'm trusting you to be honest, because you're very honest people. Did anyone get all of those right? Did anyone get all of those wrong? Is that not? Did anyone only get one wrong? Did you only get one right? Did anyone only get two wrong? You are officially our winners in that case. Many congratulations to you. I've got two more. See if you can guess this. The point of these strap lines, of course, is they're supposed to summarise succinctly a message, a clear message that people want to make. They do it succinctly and as briefly as a clear message, something that often is supposed to signify and stand for the values of the organisation or of the product that they're trying to sell or advertise. That's the point of a strap line, right? So here's two more for you. See if you can get this one. If you don't get the first one, you're going to break the vicar's heart. Learning to live the life. Anyone know that one? Yeah? Well, where's that then? Correct. Thank you very much. And here's the second one for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Anyone know that one? Yeah, excellent. On which point, here's Monty Mouse.
Would all the little children like to come up and help Monty Mouse? Morning. He's hiding. Who can help me find Monty Mouse? Have we got some Monty Mouse's friends? Oh, well done. Come on up. And some bigger people. Can you see Monty Mouse anywhere? Maybe over that way. I think he might be over this way somewhere. Can you help me find Monty Mouse? I think he's over here somewhere. Where could he be? Come and help me find him. I think he's over here. There he is. You get Monty Mouse for me. There we go. There he is. Oh, thank you. Well done, everybody. Come and sit down. Here he is. He's feeling a bit shy. Shall we say hello? Let's do the hello song. Oh. Hello, 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 and how are you? I'm fine, and I hope that you are too. Well, Monty Mouse is going to help us tell a story this morning. I have to get his box as well. And it's a story from the Bible that Jesus told. And it's about somebody called Bart. Let's call him Bart. Here he is. One day, Bart was walking down the road when something bad happened. Some bad people jumped out from behind a bush and hurt him, and they stole his things. Poor Bart. And then he sat down by the side of the road, feeling very sore and very sad, and he didn't know what to do. He had a hurting foot. Can you rub your foot? Ow. Oh, poor foot. And he had grazed knees. Poor Bart. Ow, rub your knees. And he had a sore head as well. Ow, can you rub your head? Who could help? What could he do? Oh, footsteps. Oh, good. There's somebody coming. Here we are. Here comes somebody. Maybe he'll help. The man came along. And he looked at Bart, who was feeling sore and sad, and he said, well, he's not my friend. I'm not going to help him. And off he went. Was that kind? Was he being kind? He wasn't really, was he? Oh, dear. It's all right. I think I can hear somebody else coming. I can hear some footsteps. Here comes somebody else. Oh, here's somebody else. Along he comes, and he looks at the man, and he says, oh, dear. Oh, but I can't help. I'm so, so busy. I've got so many important things to do. I'm not going to help. And off he went. Oh, dear. Was he being kind? No, he wasn't, was he? Poor Bart, still feeling really sore and sad. Here comes somebody else. Here he is. We'll call him Sam. Along he comes. And he saw Bart sitting by the side of the road. And he said, oh, dear, that man looks very, very sore. And he looks really thirsty as well. And he said to Bart, can I help you? And Bart said, oh, yes, please. So Sam said, you look thirsty. I'll give you some water. And he gave him some of his water. And he said, you look really sore. I've got some plasters, and you can put some plasters on there. There you go. Sam carried Bart on his horse to town, and he took him to an inn where he could stay and be looked after. And he said to the innkeeper, I'll pay for this man to stay. He's my new friend, and he needs a bath and a bed and something to eat and something to drink. And I'll be back tomorrow to see how he is. Was Sam being kind? He was, wasn't he? And Jesus told that story to remind us that we are to be kind to everybody, not just our friends. Thank you, Monty, for that lovely story. Let's put the things back in the box. And we'll say goodbye to Monty. There we go. Thank you for listening so nicely. Let's say goodbye. Goodbye, little ones. God loves you. He's watching over you the whole week through. Goodbye, everyone. God loves you. He's
Please do be seated. Thank you to Monty. The story Monty read it to us is, I think, pretty well known. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. I think many people know that and hear it and learn it in school. And it is an extraordinary and it is a powerful story. The context is quite simple. A teacher of the law comes up to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, actually, it's pretty simple. You need to love God and you need to love your neighbor." And the teacher of the law says, "Well, that's all very well." The teacher of the law is clearly an academic because the first thing he does is question the question. And he says, "Okay, so who is my neighbor then?" And Jesus gives this extraordinary example, the Samaritan who just goes to extravagant lengths, a generous and graciousness in caring for the injured man. And Jesus' point is very simple. Anyone and everyone is your neighbour. Go and love and care for them. Some years ago, I was travelling back from Lancaster University, and a colleague of mine was driving the car, and we got to St. James's Church in Mangotsfield, so almost at my house, and there was a bus or a car park, something like that, and my colleague pulled out around them and promptly hit another car. Now, this car that he hit was driven by a fairly young man. That's not of any particular relevance, other than the fact this car was clearly his pride and joy. You know, pride and joy. And he was angry. By gosh, he was angry. Now, my colleague is a big man. He's a very gentle man, but he's a big man. But he was pretty nervous. And we'd pulled out a bit further the road. What should we do? We can't kind of, get, you know, should we get out the car or what? And people were coming out onto the street. Not a lot happens on Cosham Street, to be perfectly honest. The people were coming out of their houses. This is true. And we're looking at some of them even called the police. We got out of this car. And I'd say, this guy was really angry. And he was fronting up to this other person. And you just think, oh, goodness, how is this all going to end? And do you know how it ended? I think a homeless man, must have been homeless, with bandaged legs and injuries, he thought he was not in a good state, came out of St. James's Church graveyard and interceded between the angry man and my colleague. I've never seen anything like it before, and I've never seen this person again. You know, of all the people you might expect to do it, it was the most generous and humbling act I've ever seen. For me at that time, he was the Good Samaritan. I went onto the BBC website and I found some examples of other Good Samaritans that people have shared. Let me share them with you. My father parked the car at the top of a steep hill when I was about 6 years old and walked down to a pub. I was in the passenger seat alone before seatbelts existed. The car started rolling down towards the hill, towards the pub, a main road and a huge wall picking up speed. I expected to be killed. Miraculously, a man leapt from a vehicle into my dad's car and managed to stop it at the bottom of the hill, just a few inches from the wall. Dad didn't return until he was drunk, as usual, by which time the man had taken me home, but no one was in. I always wondered who that man was who saved my life, then disappeared 57 years ago. Well, here's another example. Years ago, when my then husband had been made redundant, I was pregnant with our second child and our daughter was only 10 months old. We were on benefits for the first time in our lives and even the baby milk was free and our mortgage was being paid. Our pride was in our boots. A free supermarket bus used to drop off people outside our house and a lady got off the bus and came down our drive with two bags of shopping for us. She said she hoped I didn't mind, but she'd heard of our troubles from some of the neighbours and had bought us a chicken, fresh cream, cakes and biscuits to help us out. I stood on the doorstep and I cried at her kindness. I offered to pay her, but she wouldn't hear of it and said I'd have the opportunity to do the same for someone else one day when our fortunes took a turn for the better. I've done the same more than once, and I'll never forget the stranger who knocked on my door with free shopping for me and my family in time of need. Or how about this one? In 1993, at a football game between Millwall and Portsmouth, I was drunk as usual. A policewoman was ushering us Portsmouth fans back towards the station when she saw me staggering and went to arrest me for being drunk. Seeing that I was not disorderly, she asked if I was okay. I said, yes, I'm fine, just having a good time. She said it didn't look like much fun and asked whether I drank often. I replied every day and cried. She held my arm gently and told me to stop drinking. Life was too good to drink every day, she told me. She said I looked too good to be a drunk and was too good a man to die young. The policewoman looked at me with pity and a kindness that made me cry again and think. Two months or so later, I got sober. I haven't had a drink in 17 years. Or a final one. About 20 years ago, I was driving back from Edinburgh late at night and nodded off at the wheel, taking my car into a field between Bigger and Dolphinton. Although I was uninjured, the car was a write-off. I made my way up the road. Two cars passed me as I tried to wave them down, but the third stopped. The driver took me to Bigger, the opposite direction to the way he had been going, and the police took over. They got me checked out at the hospital. They drove me to Abington Services. From there, a free church minister on his way to Dumfries brought me all the way home to my door, well out of his way. Incidentally, the field I had fetched up in had contained sheep, and I was well covered in sheep manure. None of these kind people who took me home even thought to mention it. I was listening to the memorial service for Stephen Sutton. What an extraordinary guy, but not only an extraordinary young man, I think also extraordinary are the people who have paid now £4 million in response to that to help fight cancer. But Stephen Sutton said something quite extraordinary just before he died. And he said this, I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, I no longer ask how long I have before I die. I don't ask because I don't see the point of measuring life in terms of time. What matters in life is what you do. Anita.
Have ministered grace and love to you. I'm just wondering, Rich, what the loo roll was all about?
Ah, yes. Now, you remember right at the beginning, we had those taglines. That's Andrex toilet paper. Anyone know what the tagline for that is? Soft, strong, and very long. Remind you of anything? Little like God's love, don't you think? Soft, strong, and very long. So high we can't get over it. So low we can't get under it. So wide we can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. A love that's so generous, that's so kind, that it washed the disciples' feet. A love that's so generous, a love that's so kind, that it spent its time with people that the rest of society tend to shun. A love so gracious and so kind that when the disciples betrayed him, including his best friend, Simon Peter, he said, "You are forgiven." A love that is so gracious and is so kind that when he was on a cross and a person turns to him and says, basically, I will follow you, turns to him and says, you will be with me in heaven. A love that is so gracious and kind that again, when he's on his cross, says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. That's the love that we seek to follow. It says in the book of John, I could do this without my notes, but I'll get it right. We love because he, God, first loved us. So you want now to think a little bit about how we can put that love into practical action in our day-to-day lives. So hopefully we'll have a DVD clip for us to watch shortly.
When Peju first started turning up at the school gate with her oldest child, it was a pretty dispiriting experience. It's often the way, isn't it? Everyone else standing around chatting gleefully in cosy little clusters. She felt really lonely, but she didn't want to force herself on anyone else. So she prayed to God and she asked him to show her the people that he wanted her to be friends with. And over time, he did. Grateful for that grace, she decided that she wanted to be someone who would reach out to the other people standing on their own. She didn't have to, but she did. And that's how she came across Ade. Ade, who always seemed to be in a rush. Ade, who would briskly drop off her son and scuttle away with her little daughter. Ade, who always seemed to be on her own. Peju discovered that Ade's husband was overseas working in Rwanda and that she really didn't have much close family around. That must be exhausting. And then she realised that half term was coming. 9 straight days without a break. Peju thought, somebody needs to give her a break. Now, Peju didn't know Ade that well, but still she said, give me your kids for a day. And she invited her over to spend time with her and a friend. So she came. They chatted, they cooked, they sent a Western Union wire transfer, they relaxed, they laughed. And as the day drew on, Peju gave Ade a hand massage. Mums, she said, mums do so much with their hands. Peeling potatoes, doing the laundry, wiping bottoms. And they need to recognise that their hands are a gift from God, a gift to their children. So as Peju massaged Ade's hands, praying as she did so, it was a way to honour all that Ade had ever done with her hands and a way to put life, bring life back into those hands.
Expression on our front lines. And I'm not sure where your front line is, but I guess one of mine is the time I spend with students. I'm the senior tutor in the School of Geographical Sciences, University of Bristol. And that means all our students have tutors, but when there's particular problems, it gets escalated, as it were, up to me. And I don't always get it right, you know. Earlier last week, there was a student who had a particular learning need, and they said, well, basically they, keeping it relatively confidential, but they said, well, can we take the exam by ourselves? And they said this 3 days before the exam. Now, we have a procedure in the university for applying for exams and for special circumstances for those exams. And we said, no, it's too late. It's too late. Should have told us before. It's all been done by email. And all things break loose, and the parents get involved, and they're getting phones up, and it's all getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I had one of my very rare moments of wisdom. I said, shall we stop emailing? Stop all the emails. Shall we just bring the student in and actually talk to them? And that was what we did, and they were lovely, and we were able to figure something out. You know, that's my front line, but I often mess it up. We've got some scenarios on the screen. And what I'm going to do is we'll do it like this. I'll talk through all 4 of them, and then I'm going to ask you to select one. It doesn't matter which one you select, but just discuss in pews how you might respond to these particular scenarios. And I guess we're asking you to think how you, as a Christian, as someone who professes to follow Christ, who wants to live the life, how would you respond to these particular situations? So let me talk you through the 4 scenarios before you choose one. So here's one. You're at work and one of your team is really late. It has happened several times before. What might you do? So that's the first one. Go to the second one. You're at school and your friends are all moaning about one of the players in the football team who had a bad game last night. What might you do? The third one. You're at home and your neighbour has been out in the garden for hours digging up shrubs. What might you do? Don't put them back in again. And the fourth one. You're at the shops in a really long queue. Again, how might you respond to that situation? How might you be a good Samaritan in those cases? So let's go. Can we go back to the first one again? Now, we are going to ask for feedback about this. So this was the first one. So you're at work, and one of your team is really late. It has happened several times before. Put your hands up if you'd be willing to consider that scenario. Anyone at all? Yeah, a few of you. Thank you very much. So you're going to do one of these each, or as a group, whatever. The second one? You're at school, and your friends are all moaning about one of the players in the football team who had a bad game last night. Anyone prepared to do that one? Yeah, thank you. A couple over there and over there. Brilliant. And the third one? You're at home and your neighbour has been out in the garden for hours digging up shrubs. Anyone going to do that one? You have to do one, by the way. So a lot of you are doing the last one. And the fourth one? You're at the shops in a really long queue. So why don't you discuss one of those scenarios in your pews for a moment, or for you two?
Right, should we?
Yeah, otherwise we'll be. Yes,
maybe we might have to just.
Okay, let's. Now, don't get embarrassed at this point and go all quiet, because what will happen is we'll have to get Ant to fill in by making us do woohoo songs again. So do offer some feedback. So that you're at work. And one of your team is really late. It has happened several times before. Any thoughts to how you might respond? Excellent. And we have a group effort. Thank you.
Hello. Is it working?
Yes. Is it on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Is it on underneath?
Hello. Having been in this situation before, but this was a group effort, the temptation is to get a bit snotty with somebody who turns up late. But the ideal solution is they might have a problem at home, they might not want to come to the meeting, they might not enjoy work anymore, or they might have to take a child to nursery and they can't get there on time. So I think you need to be sympathetic and try and find out, is there a problem? Is there anything we can do to enable you to get to work? To the meeting on time.
Thank you very much. So it's something about seeing the person rather than the problem, actually trying to get to see if there's actually a reason for all this. Yeah, thank you so much. Let's go on to the second one. You're at school and your friends are all moaning about one of the players in the football team who had a bad game last night. Anyone? Over there, Anita. Thank you so much.
You would remind them that they all have bad days as well, so...
That's really good. So, yeah, so instead of giving them a hard... Yeah, you sort of... remind them you sort of... we're all human, you sort of... And get a bit of perspective and to kind of not be so hard on those other people. Yeah, thank you very much. That's a really kind thing to do, so thank you. The third one? You're at home and your neighbour has been out in the garden for hours digging up shrubs. Anyone do you consider that one? All the way in the corner, Anita. Bit of exercise for you. By the way, if any of you need the toilet during the service,
We decided that we would go and offer them a cup of tea.
Hey, excellent. A cup of tea. That's both. I think that's both Christian and British all at once. That's brilliant. But an act of kindness, absolutely. Thank you. And the next one, you're at the shops in a really long queue. There you go.
This is an opportunity to what I do best. You chat to people.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Chat to people. Perhaps I could chat to the counter's checkout staff as well. I think that's so important. Thank you so much for it. I just think there's a kind of a key thing here. One of the things about the Good Samaritan passage is the Samaritan goes to extraordinary, extravagant acts to look after this person. But I don't actually really think that's what the passage is about. Not actually. I think there are times when we're called to be incredibly extravagant in our love and grace to other people. I do think that's true. But actually, I think most of the time we're just called to care. And actually, sometimes that can be very simple acts. And I think the real message of the good passage in the Good Samaritan is about just caring for other people, showing God's love at every opportunity that we possibly can.